So the talk today I've called Being Just This Moment. And that's of course from our practice principles, Being Just This Moment, Compassion's Way. There's a cartoon that I like that I sometimes use when I teach meditation. And it's a young woman sitting in the lotus position and she's saying, "Today I will live in the moment, unless that moment is unpleasant, in which case I will eat a cookie." And so I think that's, very true that it's all very well to be in the moment when the moment is pleasant, but what about if the moment is unpleasant? Then we often tend to find other ways. Eating a cookie or having a glass of wine or watching a lot of Netflix. And so during this time, in particular, a lot of people are feeling quite a lot of anxiety. Some people are actually saying that they find this time quite restful, having more time at home, having less obligations. But I think most people are noticing anxiety on quite a number of different levels. And one of the anxieties, of course, is that a lot is unknown about the pandemic. Even just getting data is very difficult. How you count things, how things develop, how people are going to react. So there's a lot of uncertainty. And we all have conceptual frameworks of how we make sense of life that we grow up with and that our culture has, our belief system. And so when something like this happens, we're, sometimes desperately trying to fit it into the existing framework and doesn't always work very well. So there are all kinds of examples, like one health minister in another country said, "Oh, this is a punishment from God, sent to punish us for having gay people." And then he got the virus himself. And, there's all kinds of examples where people are trying to find sort of logical reasons for why this is happening. There's quite a lot of conspiracy theories around as well. There's also quite a bit of denial. So there's still people now saying that it's not really bad. It's not as bad as the flu. That we've got herd immunity, that is just a conspiracy by Big Pharma or vaccinations and things like that. And then another reaction can be that overreaction, so the panic buying as well. But one of the strongest we've noticed is to blame someone or something, or usually someone, so blame another country or other people. It's just this sense of needing to make some meaning out of it, rather than just having this random event that's just suddenly come and interrupted our lives. So it's quite a big job for our psyche to adjust to this new reality. It's almost like we sort of have to do internal surgery to sort of readjust how we perceive things. And that's quite exhausting. So a lot of people are also reporting that they're feeling quite exhausted a lot of the time, just trying to sort of mentally adjust to this. And there's also a feeling of sometimes it is a bit surreal because it seemed to happen very quickly. One moment we were all going to restaurants and going to work, and the next moment we're all at home and everything's shut down. So the sense of it's something not quite real. And there's a story of the two wolves, which is an American Indian story, which I really like. So it's basically, there's a wise old woman and the grandson says to her, "Grandma, how come you became so wise, this wise old woman?" And she said, "Oh, every day you have to have a choice. There's two wolves. One is the wolf of love and one is the wolf of hate. And every day you have the choice which one you feed." So I really like that story. But there was a new version of it on the that I saw recently, another cartoon of the two wolves. And it said, there's two wolves. One is sitting on the couch watching Netflix and eating popcorn. And the other one has no idea what day it is. And I could really relate to that. So the sense of confusion. So in terms of our Zen practice, of course, we know that impermanence is really central to our practice. We know that things come and go and that, challenges arise. And another central part of our practice is actually the don't know mind. So the mind that knows that it doesn't know everything. And I think that's something that's really challenging, to just be able to accept that we don't actually know You know, we don't know exactly what's going on. We don't know if all the governments are acting in our best interest. We hope they are, but maybe not. We don't know exactly what the figures are, because there's different ways of testing and all kinds of other circumstances. We certainly don't know really what the future holds, what the economic impact will be, but also the impact on society in different countries and global relationships. So there's a lot of sense of not knowing the answers. And that can feel very uncomfortable, but I think in Zen we're actually asked to acknowledge that anyway, that's the freedom of knowing that we don't know everything, that we can never know everything, and that we are always limited in how we perceive things, and that's just who we are. So there can be the sense of acceptance that our nature of understanding is incomplete and will have to be revised, and you know, we're not experts on this pandemic, and in fact there's no experts, there's just a whole lot of people coming together and doing their best. And some of it will be, you know, worthwhile, and others will be mistakes, and that's just how it is, because we are dealing with something that's so unknown. So there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknown, and a lot of, you know, how does this relate to how we see the world? But I think there's still some things that we can hold on to and have faith in. And these are things like that sense of interbeing, that we are related to each other and that we're all dependent on each other. The fact that cultivating positive qualities is going to be beneficial. So we keep developing, generosity, keep cultivating joy in our life and our practice. And we don't have to have any sort of proof that these are good things. We already know that they are beneficial. And it's also a valuable opportunity to recognize how we respond to something like that. So what are some of the ways that we have noticed that we have responded? It's often about learning more about ourselves. And, you know, when life is going well, then, you know, it's quite easy to be kind and generous and joyful. But when things become more difficult, then how do we respond? So it's a useful opportunity to notice things about ourselves. So one of the things that I've noticed for myself is that I'm a bit more impatient with other people's foibles. When people do something which I find annoying, I find myself being quite impatient. And I think part of that is the fact that so much of our interaction is online. And when you're physically with people, I mean, they can annoy you too, but you also get the warmth of the person there. Whereas when it's online, it's a bit more separated. And sometimes what really stands out is just something the other person's doing which you find annoying. So things like that is just interesting to notice that for ourselves. So we can sort of do that investigation and noticing how have I changed because of it, and you know, what are some of the ways that I've changed that I don't really like, and some ways I've changed that I, you know, do quite like. So some things might be also we've noticed strengths in ourselves we didn't have, which is also positive. And another really positive thing we can do is to do things which help to lower the level of anxiety. So some anxiety is going to be there, and I think it's good to just accept that. But we don't have to sort of feed the flame of anxiety. We can actually consciously engage in practices to lower anxiety. And so things like Zazen obviously is a very good one, and doing yoga or Qigong, meditation, things like that. For myself, being out in the garden or being in the bush has been really helpful as well, and doing exercise. So it's just really being quite conscious about the fact that, you know, the anxiety is there and how do we best manage it, and really making a concerted effort to not deny it, but at least lower the level to it a little bit. And then also when we're going out into the world, how do we bring some of that out into the world, how we interact with the world, whether it's online or in the shops. And the other day I was in the health food store, and I was chatting with one of the ladies who works there, and I was saying, oh, it's nice that you actually have a job where you're still interacting with people. You know, I'm working from home and it's all online at the moment. And she said, yes, but a lot of customers are actually quite upset and get quite angry and everything. So that's sort of quite difficult to keep putting up with that. And so I was quite disappointed to hear that I knew that had happened in supermarkets, especially when the shelves were quite empty, but that is still happening now, and you know, in a health food store where you kind of hope that people have a bit more awareness. The real sense that people are bringing, you know, the stress out and dumping it on other people who have nothing to do with their stress is sort of sad to hear. So anything we can do that helps us to, when we go out in the world, to be calm and kind and generous is a really positive thing as well. So, and I just wanted to finish with a quote again by Thich Nhat Hanh. It's again from his book Silence. I've quoted from him before, from that book. But he said, "Wherever you are can be a sacred space. If you're there in a relaxed and serene way, following your breathing and keeping your concentration on whatever you're doing."